Okay.
Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, and I am the host of this show. I will be joined by Astrology's Astrologer, a.k.a. Sheila Odette, www.sheilaodette.com, to discuss the charts of Steve Jobs, Amanda Knox, and Troy Anthony Davis. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Sheila Odette. Hello, dear Sheila.
Hi, Kate, and welcome to the full moon in Aries.
Which is that tonight? What was the exact time of that?
10:06 p.m.
Ooh, we are headed in.
We are headed in, as we, you know, on the 9th, Venus went into Scorpio at 1:50 a.m., and then on the 13th, Mercury goes into Scorpio at 6:52 a.m. So we're going to have Venus and Mercury in Scorpio, which is, you know, with the plutonic energy in Capricorn, is really, I mean, you know, Pluto rules Scorpio. So we're going to, you know, we're going to really have, you know, the big planets, like, you know, Uranus and Aries squaring off Pluto and Capricorn. You know, they are the big, slow-moving planets, which are very, you know, really, like in the 30s and 60s, they're affecting us generationally. Mm-hmm. But the slow-moving planets, as they come, I mean, the fast-moving planets of Mercury, Venus, and Mars, as they come sailing through, then they are affected by the square, you know, which is, you know, the actual, you know, you can think of the slower-moving planets as context, and then you can think of the faster-moving planets and Saturn and Jupiter's content, you know, about what physically is really happening in relationship to this square, which is, you know, the square is phenomenal. I mean, it means, you know, Uranus and Aries is like, it's like instantly something happening. So you're seeing peaceful marches, but you know instantly something could happen to erupt that, because Uranus strikes like really fast, and the moon is in Aries, and I thought it was interesting that they announced on the evening news about this terrorist plot, you know, in Washington to take, they caught this guy and they stopped it. But, you know, that means that, you know, they were able to stop that. But that would have been catastrophic. That would have been a Uranus and Aries, Pluto and Capricorn, you know, thing that would have just hit off more war, you know, more war.
Now, for those of us who don't know, what exactly happened?
I just went through fast, you know, one of the embassies, they were, a terrorist plot was to kill one of, I don't know if it was, which embassy it was, but they were going in and bomb the embassy, or they were going to bomb him at a restaurant, which would have taken out a lot of senators, but evidently somebody in the CIA or something got in touch with the terrorist that was doing it. So here he was negotiating with an agent instead of who he thought he was negotiating. They even sent him $100,000. So he really thought...
Oh, my gosh.
He really thought he was negotiating with who had originally hired him. So now that was a little complicated because I was just running through the room, okay? But I still went. That was Uranus and Aries, you know, if that would have went off, that would be the context of what would hit. Something,
right.
Uranus and Aries can be an instant explosion. And,
yes.
You know, and the whole plutonic thing in Capricorn is bringing up all of this sludge from these, you know, I mean, about, you know, what is really going on in the government. And it's not pretty. We know it's not pretty.
Well, not only the government, but the corporations and stuff are being uncovered for the greed that they are. And this kind of thing is good that it's coming to the consciousness of the world, not just the American public. Well, the much of the world has already known this, and many, many people from Europe are saying that they really were worried that America was totally asleep, and that this verifies or makes them feel much better about our country, that the people are finally, you know, waking up and taking to the streets, hopefully peacefully. But it just seems like there is danger with various groups co-opting the movement and making it violent, like they did in the days of the Vietnam War.
Well, I think in the other countries, there's more of a survival nature. They're more, I mean, in many ways, they're more awake because these countries are at war, you know, and these countries, you know, are some of their people are just surviving. So when you're just surviving, you're quite conscious because you don't know who's going to rape you, bomb you, where the next meal's coming from. And in that way, you stay, in many ways, awake, where us Americans have been very comfortable.
Yes, we have.
And almost that is almost a lulling to sleep, you know, of the government is taking care of it.
Well, then when they have all the job crisis and the health care crisis, really, let's face it, when the people are not getting the health care that they need and they have no means of paying for it because it is so expensive, we're going to have an uprising. People should be addressing that particular problem and making it a focal point in their protest.
Well, yes, it was on the evening news that these people took this one drug back, and what was it for? Migraine headaches or some whatever. Did you see that? And then
no.
And then basically, what they did was they researched it and they said that the other drug was wrong. It was called $6.10. To take, and a lot of people have been on it for a long time. So then the drug company then put a slightly different name on it, redid it, and they charged $285 for the same drug.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's pretty greedy.
That's pretty greedy.
This one guy that was on there, he said, you know, I'm paying this money, but, you know, but part of that is paid by the insurance and everything, but still somebody's paying it, you know, and it just is, I mean, but there it is in the evening news, right there was dead out right in front of us, you know, and the communication is that we are getting information like that. That's Uranus and Aries too, by the way.
Things are coming up to the surface, right?
Well, Uranus in Aries is basically that the that Uranus rules Aquarius, which is instant information, which is basically what Steve Jobs and all these guys did. I mean, we now have instant information.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, Uranus in Aries is even going to make it faster because it's in the homes. I mean, in your home in a moment, and everybody knows it. So how can you stay asleep? Uranus will wake everybody up. It's like lightning information, and it jars you even. It's like, oh, my gosh, you know? And and all of America is being jarred awake. And, you know, so, and kind of segueing into Steve Jobs' chart, you know, it was interesting that I looked at, I've been doing research in all these charts like Troy Davis, Amanda Knox, and Chaz Bono, you know, and there, you know, I have found from years and years of work in astrology that the real people that come in to do specific charts they have hardly any aspects in the center of their chart. Like, they don't have a lot of squares, a lot of trines, a lot of, those are the way you want, how one planet aspects another one. They
yeah.
usually have a specific yod, which, like, Steve Jobs has this yod to his moon in Pisces, and it goes a sextile, which is the 60-degree angle, goes from, that puts at the end of the yod, which is Neptune in Libra and Pluto in Leo. That feeds right into the moon in Pisces.
And oh, so wow.
So you look at that and you go, okay, that Neptune rules that Pisces. So he had a direct line to the other side, let's say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said, and you know, in all of the articles you read about him, and if you ever saw his home, it looks like a regular home. It's not one of these, you know, Beverly Hills mansions or anything. It's a
mm-hmm,
small
mm-hmm.
house in Palo Alto. And they brought over that one of those bouncers for his backyard, and they were putting it up, and he was sitting there on the ground, and he all of a sudden said, you know, you could make a better design of that. And so the guy stopped, and he said, if you put the netting like this and you did this, you would get a better bounce.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way he was with everything he did. Now, the other thing that you look at for three things is that that's a finger of God, a pointer of moon in Pisces, which is going to change the whole planet in some way. But then he has his sun in Pisces, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what astrologically, when I look at a chart and I say, okay, the sun, the round circle, that's a symbol of the sun with a dot in the center,
mm-hmm.
is basically the top of the mountain. In other words, if you're born a Pisces, you don't come in a Pisces, okay?
Yeah.
If you're born a Leo, you don't come in a Leo, okay? That's what you're going for. So if you are like you, a sun in Pisces, right, Kate?
Yeah.
And then you have the moon in Capricorn, right?
Yes.
So that means that there's Capricorn, and then there's Aquarius in between there, and then there's the sun in Pisces. So that means that you're in the last part of some kind of mission for your soul, whatever you want to
mm-hmm.
call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jobs has the sun in Pisces at 5 and the moon at the end of Pisces. So when you look at that, that's the beginning of something. But the dot in the Pisces, it means that, you know, the moon, which is around you, and not a lot of astrologers think that, but I've worked with it a long time, is really the emotional energy, the indicator of the emotional energy of the people that you're putting around you, of what you're doing to break open the sun. So what if you have it in the same sign? You are specifically in your lifetime really going to find the right people to put around you.
Mm-hmm.
Faster than anybody else, because why? He had 56 years to do all this stuff.
Yeah, and he's accomplished more than most people do ever.
Yeah, so, okay, I went to college. He was so smart. Well, he's adopted. Did you know he was adopted?
Yeah, and he didn't even finish college, and...
Well, he didn't finish college because his mind picked stuff up so fast that school and college, he was really he acted out a lot in school, they said, and that was because he was bored.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was bored, and basically then he was in college, I don't know how many months, and then he decided to go into a garage with what's his name, that other guy, and they started to work on you know, building this computer.
Yeah.
They were going about their business. And the other thing is with people like geniuses like that, like they said Einstein was a moron and Edison, you know, all that. They don't want a lot of information in their head that they have to get rid of.
Yes.
It's like I'm going to create something new. So mm-hmm. in my creation of something new, I don't want to have to deal with all that other stuff.
Right.
I'm just going to come out with something new. So, okay, so we're looking at the sign of Pisces, which you should be interested in, right?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
And I always say that the sign of Pisces is the hero or the victim on either side, and it's tied together, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why in an addictive thing, that if you have a Pisces and they say they're going to be an alcoholic or something for the rest of their life, they
right.
can turn on a dime. They're the biggest sign that can turn on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
That go, I'm never taking another drink, I'm never doing another drug, you know, they can do that because they flip to the other side, just like, you know, Gemini and that, you know, it's a mutable sign. But
yes.
But the way that it the signification of that in some way is that the victim tells the victim story, and if we do want to look at Jesus, you know, it's saying that, you know, he told his story, I think, as a hero. And the church or, you know, religion tells him as a victim, you have to suffer, you have to. But he didn't do that. He said that basically, you know, if I can heal, you can heal. I'm here to show you what you can do as an ultimate being. And you don't have to blame everybody else for everything. So that's the Piscean. That's the Piscean energy. And, you know, he got thrown out of Apple. Remember that?
Oh, sure, yeah.
He got thrown out of Apple. Now, what would somebody else do? Who would go and create Pixar for Disney?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we would not have Toy Story without him.
I know, isn't that something else?
But, you know, he was like, and of course, after he did all this work for Pixar, then Apple wanted him back.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing was he died with the moon in Aquarius, and that's where his Mercury in Aquarius is. And when you look, Mercury in Aquarius is, if they use it correctly, a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Mercury in Gemini is like information. Mercury in Aquarius is like that genius kid in the class or something that stands up and just gives you an answer off the wall that is totally opposite of what you said, but it's right.
Right.
And then everybody goes, oh, well, no, that's not the way we do it, and don't fix it, you know, if it's broke, you know, why fix it if it's not broken and all that stuff. And then Mercury in Aquarius goes, well, they're not ready for that. But he didn't do that, Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He, you know, and they said he was very, you know, I know this because my eye was like this in the theater. I could do, and they explained it about him, and I really got it because I've experienced it in my life a lot. You just go like this. If you move over, if you move an actor over just minusculely,
mm-hmm.
and then you move a prop over one way, it makes all the difference in the world. And that's the way his eye was. And that's why these computers, these Apple computers are so beautiful. Because he used color, you know, he used color, and he was into, and the only thing that he really got from college was calligraphy, and that's why all of the calligraphy on the machines and all. And that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, my machine is done, you know, my program, LO Astrology, is all calligraphy. It's really beautiful, my charts, because
yeah.
That's the way that I love them. And when I was studying Uranian astrology in New York, a lot of astrologers are like doctors. They just scribble stuff down because it's just for information.
Right, right.
I would get little dimes and make circles for the planets. And my Uranian wheel looked like a Picasso. And there would be 12 charts on the table. And the Uranian, like, one, she just pulled it when I was in, just pulled it out from underneath and went, oh, my God.
Yeah,
because and that's the way I understand that's the way he was too, with the iPod and the iPad and all of that kind of stuff. But this amazing yacht, and but in the end, he said the greatest thing he created was his kids.
I know, you know, he's such a gentle soul, and I think that is, you can attribute that to being a Pisces, a man.
Right, and Bono and them, he did not like. All of the rest of them, he did not want to know where he was giving his money,
mm-hmm.
and he was one of the big AIDS activists. Bono said, it was giving a lot of money for the AIDS thing,
mm-hmm.
and you know, on the other side, you can look at the fact that, you know, there were these chop shops or whatever you call them over in the other countries too. So there was that side that people will come up with him. But you know what? I don't think that was his part of the company. I think, you know, he was kind of, you know, the moon in Pisces at the end. Void, of course, his moon was void of course, too. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So you have a 0 to 30 degrees in a sign. Mm-hmm. You understand that? You understand that, right?
Yes.
And you can be born at, if you're born at 0, then it takes, you know, it takes like 2.5 months for, you know, the moon in a chart. But if you're born, at 29, you know, that the moon's going to change right away.
Mm-hmm.
So his moon went into Aries right away.
Oh,
and there,
yeah.
There's the pioneer, okay? And he had Mars in Aries. And tonight there's a full moon in Aries, and we're talking about him, okay?
Oh, cool.
Well, he has Mars in Aries. Actually, I was really kind of, because he has Mars in Aries at the same place that I do in my chart, in the second house, rising.
Oh, yeah. Do you have Mars in Aries also?
I have Mars in Aries, yes. I do.
So do I. I do, too.
Yes, you do. Let me see. Yes, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, this is a
you have Mars
day.
At 1 degree of Aries, so, you know, this is going to be, you know, that full moon is going to be right on, you know, moving right there.
Uh-huh.
The full moon is at, I think it's at 18, though. What is it at? The full moon, yeah, I'm right, is 18 degrees of Aries.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, is there anything else you want to know? You know that since 1976, there's been 1,270 executions in the United States.
How many?
1,270 executions.
Since when?
Since 1970.
Okay.
It's just horrendous. And, I mean, I was listening to the Memphis Three, you know, Damien Echols and Jason Baldwin, and I was, you know, that he said that most of the men that are on death row are either mentally, they're retarded or,
yeah.
you know, bipolar or didn't know what they were doing when they confessed.
Yes.
And that it's like horrendous.
Right.
Our
you know, there is a lot of getting, well, we can talk about Troy Davis in that regard. He was not so-called, you know, mentally handicapped at all.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we could, he may be what is called the poster child for you know, getting rid of capital punishment in this country, because really we're probably one of the last countries in the world to have it. Well, so let's talk about his chart a minute.
Okay. We have another finger of God. It's very distinct.
Mm-hmm.
We have hardly any aspects. It's
mm-hmm.
His Mercury, Jupiter, Pluto, Uranus, the node, Sun, South Node, Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Neptune are on the lower part of his chart. The seesaw thing is that the nodes, Saturn and Moon, are at the top. So we have 12, 1, 2, and the houses that I'm saying are like the environment that a planet is in. His 12th house, first house, and second house are empty. His 6th house, 7th house, 8th house, and 9th house are empty. So it's a distinct seesaw pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It is very distinct. And what the yod goes to, Saturn in Aries, is that not remarkable?
Whoa!
And Saturn in Aries is capital punishment.
Is it?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Sure. Saturn in Aries is the justice system, kills you, takes you out, you know, instantly.
Yeah.
In that moment, so that's where the yod is, and
okay,
and he. You know, when you look at this chart, like, okay, this man was born to put this light on this. I don't have the Memphis 3's charts. I'm sorry, because my internet went down, or I would have their charts. But this pointer goes directly to that. It's from Neptune, and he had a Jupiter-Pluto conjunction 22-23 in Virgo, and he had Mars in Virgo also, and Virgo is, you know, I mean, when you look at this chart, you don't think this man really had a chance, but then you go, his soul came in to do this.
Yes.
So the sun is in Libra, on the right in the opposition to Saturn in Aries. But you see that Saturn rules Libra. I mean, Saturn is one of the rulers of Libra, you know, justice system, the balance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the Saturn and Aries won out over, I mean, I definitely think that Troy Davis was broken open. I mean, I definitely believe by looking at this chart that he did what he came here to do, which
right.
is put focus on the injustice of our penal system.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was interesting when I was listening to Damien that he said, you know, you better stay well in prison because there's no medical stuff. He sat in a cell. They put them in a cell, and they sit there for 22 hours a day. And he said 24 hours a day he was there. He only got out of that cell 3 hours a week. Now, come
right.
on.
Oh, I know. I know. This is a public health issue, if not a... Well, it's an ethical issue. It's a moral, ethical issue. And even though it's the law and blah, blah, it's something that is not to be tolerated in a civil society. And,
no.
And we need to change these...
Either on Troy Davis or the other one, they didn't have specific evidence. Or the Memphis Three. They had no DNA. They picked these three boys out of the town because they weren't normal.
Yeah.
Because the one dressed goth. They had they never got a DUI. They never got in trouble with the law. They never had any of those things. They just purely needed somebody to blame it on, and they picked them out.
Mm-hmm.
And Troy Davis, you know, in many ways it's the same thing. And Amanda Knox, there you go. There's Amanda Knox, too. And which means we shouldn't be allowed to do that. Now,
yeah,
DNA, huh, go on.
Well, DNA what?
DNA is changing that. See, that's also DNA and all that, DNA evidence and all is changing the system because they no longer can pick somebody out and just do that to them.
Exactly.
Because
They did it with Troy Davis.
Yeah.
And they did it, they wanted to do it with Amanda Knox. That situation is interesting because the British press, apparently,
mm-hmm.
is still trying to make it so or make a case for her guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact being that the victim, her roommate that had been killed is British, probably. And, you know, they're going to appeal it, and they're going to make life miserable for her for some time.
Well, they're not going to get her back. I mean, they're not going to do that because they don't have any evidence there. I mean, just
if you watch
the trial, they just don't have any evidence. Now, we're talking about the sun in Cancer here. She has a sun in Cancer, Venus and Mercury in Cancer. But the big thing about her is Saturn in Sag, the moon next to her in Sag, and Uranus in Sag. So she's in a foreign, and Jupiter rising in Aries. Here we go with Aries again.
Mm-hmm.
So this Jupiter in Aries rising rules the moon in Sagittarius and Saturn in Sagittarius, which again is the justice system, but the justice system in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, okay, man, how do, you know, if somehow you say astrology is a belief system, which it's not, it's a roadmap of the soul. That's what I call it, the roadmap of the soul. If everybody used it, you know, you go, okay, so right there it is laid out. Also, Amanda Knox, all of these charts have not full things in the middle of the chart. Like some charts are so busy, layered on layered on layer of aspects. This one has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a quintal, which is a creative aspect from Jupiter in Aries to the Sun to Mercury in Cancer, and
mm-hmm.
the Sun is very close to that, which means, you know, it like went around the world what was happening to this girl.
Right.
I mean, she
right.
became. And the boy, obviously, they want the boy to come over and visit her in America. He's afraid to come out of the house. He's got this thing going that he's just simply afraid to come out of the house. God love him. But I found it fascinating that Saturn is at 13 of Sag, and the Moon is 20 of Sag, and Uranus is 23 of Sag. All retrograde. And you find again all of this retrograde, like in Troy Davis. Troy Davis has Mercury retrograde, which is interesting, which for me, when you're born with Mercury retrograde, and it is bringing something in another lifetime back over that you haven't worked out. Or you're bringing something, you can take it that way, or you can take it that you're bringing something over that you're going to work it out for society. And it is also in Libra, okay? So, and it's also void of course. So he has Mercury retrograde in Libra, and it's also void of course. And, you know, the other thing is him not being able to articulate or get rapport in any way to get free. Because ununderstood. And that's the same with the Memphis Three. Damien looked like a goth guy. He looked like, he looked wicked. And so it was easy for them. Then the other guy, Jason Baldwin, looked like an innocent child, really. He looked like an innocent child. But Jason Baldwin, do you realize how they got out, Kate?
No.
They had to plead guilty because the state said they were guilty. But if they came back into court on an appeal, they didn't have enough evidence, and they would have had to let them go. So in order, they did this law thing, and Damien could not stay in jail anymore. They were afraid he was going to die. So Jason Baldwin said he didn't want to sign it because he said he would never sign it if he had to sit in jail forever, that he didn't do it. So they signed this thing that they were guilty so that they couldn't go still guilty by the state. They had to admit guilt because if they went into appeal, then they would find them not guilty, and that would have been another 2 years.
Oh, my heavens.
Is that not the most bizarre thing you've ever heard?
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Oh, it didn't make sense to you? I had to hear it four times before it made sense to me. And you know, they were sitting with Piers Morgan, and they said, and Jason Baldwin said they came to him. His lawyer said, you're going to have to take this because this boy's going to die, Damien. They said he's gone completely blind because he hasn't seen sun for decades. Two decades. He hadn't seen any sunlight. Can you imagine doing that to a human being?
No.
Well, that's what they're doing. And beside that, you're sitting there thinking, knowing that you didn't do it. They do think that one of the fathers did it. That the one father went after the one boy. That's the one father, and that he really beat him to death, and the other two boys saw it. And so he had to take them out too. That's the assumption. And he's the father that's screaming that, you know, they should be kept in jail forever. But the other fathers of the other two boys said these boys are not guilty. Okay.
Now we have some callers here. We have a 510 area code. Let me bring that person on.
Okay.
Hello there. Good evening.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, very fascinating show so far. I've just been kind of hanging out and listening, but yeah, so with this full moon in Aries,
right?
I believe that's hitting me in my third house.
Wow.
Yeah, at the last, I guess, degrees of the third house. So interesting to see what that means. Third house is what, communication?
Third house is communication. It's how you communicate with other people. And how you receive communication, too, you know, from somebody else. And, you know, and Aries brings up stuff that Aries brings up stuff that you it can bring it up instantly that you buried forever.
Okay.
And, you know, and somebody can communicate something to you, and that's why you want to punch them in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you really don't want to hear it, and you put
right.
it somewhere, and so they bring it up, so you have to say, whoa. Mm-hmm. So, it's the way you communicate. It's how you create your experience in communication.
So, I wonder
how I can...
So,
what's in your third house?
Let me see.
Okay.
Actually, natally, that house is empty.
Okay.
Natally.
Where's your Mars, dear?
Okay, my Mars is in my eighth house. I have Mars in Virgo in my eighth house.
Mars in Virgo. So, you know, when you have Mars in Virgo in the eighth house, you know, Mercury rules that. So, Mercury rules Virgo.
Right.
So you find out where Mercury is, and then it's ruling that. But still, Mars in the eighth house. Is you teach people how to treat you.
Right.
And in the eighth house, and it's what comes out of the seventh house. So Mars in Virgo means you get people around you that really slam you mentally, physically. See, it's an M, okay?
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
The one line is mental, the other line is physical, the other line is emotional, and the line that turns in is spiritual. So it means that when they do slam you, you go inside. It's either you blame yourself or you work it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it means you take it very deeply inside yourself. Where's your Mercury, dear?
I have Mercury in Cancer in the seventh house.
Well, you really do take things personally, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I have Mercury in Cancer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Mercury in Cancer is it's a love of humanity, dear.
Right.
It's really a love of humanity, and it's really it still means that you take things very emotionally. But, you know, that's not a bad thing because emotions are indicators of where we are.
Right.
And when we take things emotionally, that's the only way that we know where we are with something emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So your Mercury in Cancer is really a great teacher, but putting it my Sun and Pluto is in the seventh house. And when you put it in the seventh house, it means those things you have this in the seventh and eighth means you really have to watch how seriously and personally you take information from other people.
Okay.
You have to begin to say what you think of me is none of my business. Can you do that?
Oh yes. Yeah, I'm doing that now. I've learned some things about that now.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm learning where a lot of the things that people say, how they react to me,
mm-hmm.
it may not necessarily have anything to do with me.
Right.
So I'm learning how to just say, okay, not to take this personally and just kind of let a person say what they feel they must say, but
mm-hmm.
then just kind of shrug because, well, what's underneath this?
Well, it's 95% about them.
That's
it's only 5% about you, usually.
Oh,
so we did all
that.
We didn't even talk about your Sun sign.
You know, interestingly enough, I've got Sun, Mercury, and Venus all in Cancer in the seventh house.
Wow. Gosh, that's interesting because I have my Sun's in the seventh house, too.
Okay.
That's really, you got to really watch. It's a water sign. You got to really watch letting people get power over you. But it's a way of learning, you know.
Right.
It's a way of learning. But you know the Cancer sign. Cancer is water in. It's like the ocean.
Okay.
It's water in, water out, where you are emotionally. Pisces is like the deep sea diving, where you know the sharks and everything swim. They only eat when you know that's what Pisces is.
Mm-hmm.
And Scorpio is the swamp. Scorpio is like the deep, dark swamp that, you have to really find your own way out of.
Oh, boy.
What do you have in Scorpio? You said, oh, boy.
I have Uranus in Scorpio 10th house.
Okay. Well, you know, hey, you need to do your bliss work, dear. The 10th house is if you build it, they will come.
Right, right.
So that's bliss work. The 6th house is your perception of reality and everyday work. But the 10th house is really what do you love to do? It's, you really have to find your passion.
And you know what's interesting about it, as we've been talking, mm-hmm. so natally I do have Uranus and Scorpio in the 10th house, but at the present moment mm-hmm. I have transits. I've got Sun, Saturn, Mercury, and Venus all transiting my 10th house.
Mm-hmm. Good for you
yeah.
here.
Yeah, so I'm like, how do I use that energy effectively?
How to use it effectively? I would sit and I would write, I would journal about what my passion is and what I love to do and what's holding me back from it.
Okay.
One column I would do, I would do a circle about the contrast of what I think I can't do, and then I would put in the center of the circle what I want to do and what I would love to do, and then I would put bubbles around that circle and right around the circle what would connect me to the center of the circle of the passion of what I want to do.
Hmm.
And look at the contrast outside that is keeping you from doing it.
Interesting.
And all of that means that if you want to do it, the contrast cannot keep you from doing it.
Right.
But the 10th house is really deep work, dear. I mean, Scorpio. Deep, deep work.
Right, right.
But the other thing with Uranus and Scorpio, you know, you can go off with Uranus and Scorpio. I mean, it's generational, but it's in your 10th house. But you can go off and get hurt when somebody goes, oh, we didn't even say anything.
Mm.
It can hit you somewhere like that.
Interesting.
And so you have to go, and everybody goes, well, I didn't even say anything, but somehow that hit, it's like a button that in a computer that was hit that you just go, boom.
Hmm.
I don't know what's wrong with her, they say.
Right.
So if we were doing astrodrama, it would be a really interesting thing. I do astrodrama about putting all those things in your 10th house working together.
Okay.
So you better find out what your deep self loves and what it's telling you and why it's telling you you can't do it, and then counter that with why you can do it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, dear. I don't know your name.
Oh, Camille.
Well, hi, Camille.
Hi.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye.
We have a 561 area code. Let me see who that might be. Mm-hmm. Hello there. Hello. 561 area code.
Hello.
Hello.
That was me.
That's okay.
Maybe they got tired of waiting.
No, they're still here.
Oh.
Well,
can they hear us, or are they going to talk?
So there isn't any one astrological chart that is like any other, is there?
Not even twins. I did all research on twins because they're still born minutes apart.
Yes.
And the environmental thing of the house system changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ascendant can be a different ascendant. And it can change a house cusp and a house everything. It can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Uranus and Aries, you know, is this baby. I could never think of a bigger metaphor than this woman running the marathon and then having a baby than Uranus and Aries.
Wow.
Did you hear about that yesterday?
No.
She said she was going to run the marathon. And the doctor said, okay, go ahead and do it. So she ran the marathon, and then 3 hours later had the baby. Perfectly healthy child.
Was it her due date, or was it
I don't know.
Early?
Well, they didn't
mm-hmm.
say that. But she climbed a mountain with her first child, almost near her due date. But and she was sitting there, and the baby looked healthy, and she looked healthy, and, you know.
That's beautiful, isn't it? I love it.
God.
Isn't it?
That?
It's wonderful. I think it's Camille.
Oh, is it still Camille?
Yeah, that's just so amazing. I read about that. Yeah, I read about that just this morning. It's miraculous.
That's Uranus and Aries. I mean, you can't get a better metaphor. I went, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Yeah, I've never even run a marathon, so I wouldn't know or have had a child. So, but to put two together.
Yeah. They're incongruent, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
I mean, I can't even, oh, my God, I couldn't even get up, let alone run a marathon, you know what I mean?
Not bad.
Yeah. And then
Well,
you think about these pioneer women, don't you? I mean, they just had babies in the field and then just went, put them on their back and went right on.
Pretty much. And now it's like,
yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Well,
people
Kate
are very
knows what
different
it's like.
Now.
That's what she does, right?
Right, right.
So,
yeah, I mean, I don't see that very often as a, I'm a labor and delivery nurse, and basically people are very much into labor as a some sort of thing to be afraid of in many, many respects. And you know, not everybody is, but really the medical establishment makes people afraid. And the fact that she would run a marathon or climb a mountain and or both in this case is just astounding. It's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
She looked terrific. She was there, you know, she really looked terrific. I was like, wow. Well, the first child I had, they laid me down. I said, this is not logical. So the next child I had, I wouldn't go in the hospital. I just kept walking around outside. And finally, when I was ready to have the baby, I went in. And it was much easier.
Mm-hmm.
It was much easier because I kept moving, you know. And so, all right, I want to talk about Chaz Bono because I have this chart and I really am into it.
Well, go for it.
I'm just amazed at the courage of this child. It's Sonny and Cher's child, who was born a girl and is a transgender and has come on Dancing with the Stars. And, I mean, got such heat that you could not believe. Now, come on, this is a dancing show. I mean, we're not talking about, I mean, the way people were going off on this, I thought, my God, you know, get off it. But anyway, very overweight. Beside everything else that you have to go through on that show, the fact was that the very overweight and came in last week, thought it was he was going to be voted off, mm-hmm. and he wasn't. And I said, I'm getting that chart. So it's really interesting because here we have another Pisces.
Oh, what's
yeah.
that?
We have another Pisces, and we have another Yod, and we have hardly any aspects in this chart either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5, 6 lines. There is an opposition from the sun to the moon, and the moon is in Virgo. Moon, Pluto in Virgo, and the sun is in Pisces, direct opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going, okay, there you go. And then you have Venus in Aries and Saturn in Aries and Mars in Sagittarius. And this is, you know, you look at this and it's like it's a transgender chart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercury is in Aquarius again, which is a genius, you know, a genius mind is going to bring something new to this world.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, he danced to Rocky. Now, what greater thing was that? More Saturn in Aries, Mars in Sag, and ran up the steps at the end and stood up there, and I thought, hallelujah for you. And Cher was in the audience crying, you know.
Oh.
It was a beautiful moment, but I thought, my God, what he is doing to bring together people, you know, that people judge and people do not accept.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the other guy, Carson whatever, is on too. And he is so much fun because he's so gay and he's so flamboyant. And, you know, he can't dance. Neither one of them can dance.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want them to go off the show because of their great courage, you know?
Yes.
In doing this and really bringing this to the forefront. So that's, you know, that's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing, you know, that's part of the Pluto in Capricorn. We are bringing up things that have been, you know, like the don't ask, don't tell, which was one of the most ridiculous things I ever heard in my life. What is that teaching our children?
Mm-hmm.
What is that teaching? I thought right away, what is that teaching our children? It's teaching our children to lie, huh?
Not to be themselves.
That's right. And not to be themselves. So these crazy structural rules about how everybody's supposed to be the same and every family and everything's supposed to be the same when none are, you know, is all this plutonic energy in Capricorn beside structure and government and everything, all of that is coming up too.
Yeah.
And we have these heroes that are stepping forth. But all of these charts, which was the most fascinating thing to me, has you know, four of them, and usually when I'm doing a lot of charts together, it really happens that way, have hardly any aspects. They are very specific to what they came here to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find totally fascinating.
Yes, it is.
You find that fascinating? And 140 people have been proven innocent because of their DNA, too. I got the number on that.
Well, I think this is something that has to change, and I wish it would change overnight as opposed to years and years and years, because it's just not.
But your Mars and Aries can change it overnight, Kate.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, that's the one thing that it can change. And to find that the demonstrators went in front of their Manhattan apartments. They went in today to protest.
The number.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Who is that? They went in front of their actual living residence today, of the Wall Street guys and all.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Well, yes, you know, we just don't want any of these demonstrations to turn, you know what I mean?
Violent.
Well, you know, Uranus and Aries, it can do that. It can really do that. I mean, we're here for a while with these big boys, you know? So, anyway. Okay.
Yeah. Any other little tidbits that you can offer us?
Now, what do you have to say, Kate?
Well, I'm going to occupy Wall Street myself this weekend.
You are? When?
Didn't I tell you?
No.
I am going to a conference in New York City, which I have to be there at 8:30 on Saturday morning. But the train that I'm taking will drop me off at 2 a.m. And because any other train wouldn't take me on time for my conference. So I will be going to New York City at 2 a.m., and then I'm going to take probably a cab to Wall Street, to the Occupy Wall Street site. And I will either...
There's a train at 2 a.m.?
Yeah. Well, no, the train leaves Lancaster at 10 p.m.
Okay.
on Friday night.
Okay.
And then I'll be eventually going to New York City at 2 a.m. Okay.
Every
so
Saturday
anyway.
Of my life, you will be doing my trip. That's what I did every Saturday of my life from the time I was 8 to 19.
And you would go at 2 a.m. and then
no,
wait around?
No, I would leave at 5:30 in the morning. I would be in dance class by 9 o'clock.
Yes. Well,
so.
That's good. So anyway, I'm going to go to the site, and I would like to, as a nurse, hang out at the first aid station for a while, assuming that it's open. It may not be open. And I just would like to, probably people will be singing and
dancing.
Oh, it'll
be very exciting.
And then maybe people will be sleeping.
Will you call me on your cell phone? I want you to call me.
Do you want me to call you at that hour?
No, when you get there and when you're in the whole demonstration thing.
Yeah, we won't be demonstrating at that hour.
I know.
It's almost it's like night shift at the hospital where, you know, we are where people are calmer and can conduct things without the administration. And, of course, the administration in this case are the policemen and the whatever. So, anyway, I'm excited about it, and I will let everybody know what that's like.
Is Tom going too?
Absolutely not. I'm going by myself.
Okay, girl.
Yeah. Yes.
You go, girl. You're not having a baby at the end of it.
No.
That was a joke.
No, that's right. I'm not. But there are a lot of people taking children into the demonstration areas, and
mm-hmm.
And pretty soon this evening, I'll be watching Amy Goodman, democracynow.org.
Great.
With when Tom gets home, because that will, they're having a special on the Occupy Wall Street. They did that yesterday too. And she goes in, Amy Goodman goes into these areas. She actually did a 6-hour video streaming when the whole Troy Davis thing was going on. And
see, there you go. Right there it is. You're on a scenario. You're right there, right in the moment, right there.
And that's
people
how,
take you right in.
And, well, this is one of the only independent press. She's just a tremendous press person. She's a journalist who doesn't rant and rave about anything. She just reports the news. Except
yeah.
you could tell that the Troy Anthony Davis case was tearing her up.
No.
I just felt so sorry for her. She, you know, first of all, went to the Supreme Court, and we were all so hopeful. She was so hopeful. The family was, she was right there with the family, and suddenly they came back and said he had to be executed, and then he had to
Which,
be executed.
Oh, my God. Ridiculous.
Within the hour. Yeah, within the hour. It was just the only person who probably handled it well was Troy Anthony Davis, because he had been having things like that happen to him for the last 20 years.
Well, so, you know, they said that Damien said that, you know, after the first time when they don't take you, you're almost resigned to it. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
He said it's just like, you know, okay, well, because it's just so, so horrible. Okay, well.
Well, but the thing is, let's end this on a more positive note, and that would be that he was free when he was killed. He was free. But on the other hand, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. That's all I can say. I just can't say it any more emphatically than that.
Well, you're right. And a lot of atrocities and all this stuff have got to stop.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And when people stand up, it's going to stop.
That's right. So we will end this show. I guess we will end it now. With the music for Mother and Child by Clancy Jensen, yes, who has his music. This music was created for women who were who are in the throes of pre-term labor, and getting into this calm spirit of this music.
And not running marathons.
And they're not watching shitty TV. You know, they're not watching violent TV. Where,
okay.
Yeah, it's like a beautiful music that people just sit and listen to, and then I notice he's told me that there's been great results.
Well, somebody's trying to call in here. I don't know. Okay.
But anyway, there's been great results with stopping preterm labor with this music. So we will listen to this, and farewell. Goodbye, Camilla. It was wonderful for you to call in.
Bye,
thank
dear.
You.
Bye, Camilla.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.